Welcome to another episode of the Jam Bass Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Kahn, and in a minute, I'll be bringing you the rundown of recent news since our last episode. After the rundown, we'll continue this Andy edition of the podcast with an interview between Jam Bass's Scott Bernstein and musician and fellow podcaster Andy Frasco of Andy Frasco and the UN. Scotty and Andy were aboard Jam Cruise 17 when they discussed how Frasco maintains a career as a touring musician, as well as hosting the popular Andy Frasco's World Saving Podcast. It's the first of our Castaway interview segments, which will feature Team Jam Bass interviewing other podcasters. This episode is sponsored by the Dead Oceans record label and the upcoming Strand of Oaks album Eraserland. We'll hear a track from the record after the rundown, which we can get rolling now. Regular listeners of the Jam Bass Podcast are likely familiar with the rundown format that features a recap of recent noteworthy news items. This time around, Jam Bass made some news that we're all pretty excited about. Jam Bass is now the media partner for the Osiris Podcast Network, and we're stoked. Osiris was co-founded by Phish lyricist Tom Marshall, who hosts the Under the Scales podcast, and RJB, who co-hosts the Helping Friendly podcast. Those two podcasts focus on Phish and the community that surrounds the band. The Osiris Podcast Network also includes many other music and culture podcasts, such as The Sound Podcast, hosted by Ira Haberman, that highlights musicians from the worlds of jam, rock, Americana, alt country, and more. You can hear deep dive interviews with members of the jam scene and discussions of all aspects of the music industry on Inside Out with Turner and Seth. There's also the Broke Down Podcast with host Jonathan Hart, exploring the music and history of the Grateful Dead. And if you're looking for discussions about all things Phish from a woman's point of view, there's the Female Centrics Podcast, hosted by Donnie B. Tom Marshall also hosts the State of the Garden Podcast, focusing on the process of legalizing marijuana in New Jersey. The Osiris Network also features the Fear of a Craft Beer Planet Podcast, bringing together craft beer lovers and music fans. Tim Wheaton hosts the Daddy Unscripted Podcast, about being a father, and there are a bunch of others, including now the Jam Bass Podcast. Be sure to check them all out. Speaking of checking them all out, you can now find the Osiris Podcasts on the newly redesigned Jam Bass homepage. The new look and layout comes with updated localized show listings, including the launch of a separate module for newly announced shows in your area. The homepage now hosts all of the most recent podcasts in the Osiris Network, as well as an archive of all the Jam Bass podcast episodes, so you can listen to all of the various podcasts in the network in one place. Like I said, we are stoked about joining Osiris, and we hope you're as excited as we are about the fresh look of the Jam Bass homepage. All right, moving on to the next rundown topic, Woodstock 50. The music festival celebrating the 50th anniversary of the original 1969 Woodstock Festival announced its lineup with Dead & Company, Jay-Z, and The Killers headlining the eclectic event. Michael Lang, who organized the historic 69 Fest held in Bethel, New York, is part of the team producing Woodstock 50. It's going to be held on August 16th, 17th, and 18th at Watkins Glen International Racetrack in Watkins Glen, New York. Original Woodstock performers Santana, Canned Heat, and Country Joe McDonald, as well as John Fogerty, who performed with CCR, David Crosby, who performed with CSN, and Hot Tuna, whose members performed with Jefferson Airplane, are part of the Woodstock 50 lineup. The genre-crossing slate of performers also includes the Black Keys, the Raconteurs, Chance the Rapper, Robert Plant, Brandi Carlile, Janelle Monáe, Sturgill Simpson, Greta Van Fleet, Margo Price, Portugal the Man, Leon Bridges, Gary Clark Jr., Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, Maggie Rogers, Michael Franti and Spearhead, Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, Dawes, the Marcus King Band, the Zombies, and many, many others. Head to Jam Bass for the full list of acts heading to Watkins Glen in August. And let's all hope, for a number of reasons, that it doesn't rain. As always, you can find up-to-date festival lineup information at Jam Bass. We recently posted updated lineup info on High Sierra Music Festival, Summer Camp, Delfest, Electric Forest, Strange Creek, Pickathon, Lollapalooza, Jason Isbell's inaugural Shoals Fest, Twiddle's annual Tumbledown Festival, STS9's Wave Spell, and many more. Jam Bass also recently recapped Phil Lesh's 79th birthday run at the Capitol Theater, that featured the impressive debut of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers keyboardist Benmont Tench as one of Phil's friends. Here's a bit of Benmont leading China Doll. Hey. Bob Weir's Wolf Brothers tour also continues to feature expanding set lists and special guests, and Phish bassist Mike Gordon's solo tour has had some surprises and guests as well. Jambase also published an insightful interview with Devin Allman and Dwayne Betts of the Allman Betts Band, ahead of that group's first tour, which starts next week. They discuss growing up in the Allman Brothers Band family, Devin is Greg Allman's son, Dwayne is Dickie Betts' son, and how they came together to form the Allman Betts Band, who will release their debut album, Down to the River, later this summer. Well, that's it for the rundown. We'll get to Andy Frasco's Castaway interview with Scotty B right after we listen to Weird Ways, one of the singles from the upcoming Strand of Oaks album, Eraserland. Dead Oceans will release Eraserland tomorrow, Friday, March 22nd. Strand of Oaks leader, guitarist Timothy Showalter, recorded the 11-song album with members of My Morning Jacket, including guitarist Carl Bramel, bassist Tom Blankenship, keyboardist Bo Koster, and drummer Patrick Hallahan. Eraserland was tracked with Kevin Raderman at La La Land Studios in Louisville, and also features contributions from guitarist Jason Isbell and vocalist Emma Ruth Rundle. Showalter shared the following regarding the making of Eraserland. Quote, I thought for a moment Strand of Oaks might be over until a text from my friend Carl Bramel changed all that. Unbeknownst to me, four members of My Morning Jacket and Kevin Raderman booked studio time to record songs I didn't think I'd ever write. But they believed I could and pulled me back from the brink. At last, the songs came and quickly morphed into everything I've worked toward as this band. End quote. Get your copy of Strand of Oaks' new album Eraserland tomorrow, wherever good music is sold, and listen to the album track Weird Ways right now.
I don't feel it anymore. Somehow I see clearer than before. I hold on to the bastion of life. I turn my back to the meaning of life. And the scene isn't my scene anymore. I dug too deep and was crawling on the floor. It's what you made and the people you love. The more I burn, the less I've got to show. What's calling them now? Jumping in line at the store. Keep racing ahead, there's no value in the score. A few good riffs and a sticky bag of green. You said before it's not as bad as it seems. A grown-up kid gets to live out all his dreams. No self-control. It's closer than you think.
Well, I've always been a runner from town to town, trailing that sunrise, drugged up and down, trying to find a red star in a valley, looking for a good way to keep on smiling. I'm looking for a change of pace, then I'll be on my way. Let's start a move.
Hello and welcome back to the Jam Bass Podcast. I'm here on Jam Cruise 17 with Andy Frasco. Hey Andy, how's it going?
What up?
I'm very excited. This is I've had 10 interviews on the boat, and this is one of the ones I've been most excited for.
Oh, thanks, man.
Last year on Jam Cruise 16, you made your Jam Cruise debut, and you were the talk of the boat.
Really?
And you know, well, you pour beer over your head, and
maybe
you...
I was just the alcoholic on the boat. Like, oh, look at that guy, you know.
And you do crowd surf. That tends to
get people noticing.
And it's just it was nice. It's very different than anything else on this boat, and there's a lot of straight funk, so it's nice to have something completely different.
Yeah, man, I was watching the Mike Judge thing. Of the tour bus. Have you watched that cartoon?
I haven't had a chance
to
yet.
Oh my God. It is fucking dope. These people are like on crack. Like, it's so funny. Oh, thank you. I thought I lost this. It's so funny because, like, I look at my antics and then I watch the P-Funk or the George Glennon or, like, the Bootsy or even the Waylon Jennings, like, what they were doing on the road.
Sure.
And, I feel like a fucking amateur. So, but
after 10 years
after,
or
yeah,
15
13
years.
You know, it's like there's always different things you could add to a show. You know, like, you know, we're a band. We're like, I have a really solid backbone band, and my job is just to kind of glue the fans to the band so we're all something together. You know, and like, with the crowd surfing and the bar mitzvahs, you know, I just want to build an experience where we could get off our phones and, you know, and just like live in the moment. Like, that, how cool was it last night? Not a phone in sight.
No.
Did you see that?
No.
Wasn't that awesome? They may have put a phone up for the crowd surf or whatever, but they were present. That's one thing I love about Jam Cruise. Is like, no one's like, they're detached to the world. So we could give them the most musical moment we could try to give them, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I was telling Andy before we started, I did a write-up yesterday of the best moments of day three aboard the boat, and your set was number one.
Thank you, bud.
I stopped counting at 13 with the number of sit-ins. I mean,
it was
a lot of people. And how did it come together in terms of who you chose?
Man, I literally ask every single person to sit
okay.
in.
Okay.
And whoever shows up, or if I see people in the crowd that I know they're musician, like I saw Matt Jolbert from Talk in the crowd, I'm like, nope, Matt, sorry. Yeah. I know you, you're kind of wasted right now, but you're coming up and jamming. We had Steve Kimmock sit in.
And that's just Steve Kimmock. I've never seen that, like, fun side of him.
And he was running, doing our shtick with us. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, yeah, Steve.
Played Pink Floyd on Pink Night.
man. It was just so cool to see all these musicians, like, have my back. You know, it's like, we are a family. And this is something I'll remember for the rest of my life what Jam Cruise did. They made us become a gang. So we're all a gang. So we're all fighting the good fight. You know, we're all doing 200-plus shows a year. So we don't get to see each other. We see each other once a year on this cruise. So we're going to take advantage of it as much as we can. Like Stan Moore doing a drum solo on a guitar solo.
I mean, that you know, was like, just... Yeah, I mean, at first you were like, hey, Stan Moore, play guitar. And I was wondering how that was going to go. And he went with it.
You see, that's the thing. Like, you know, I'm trying to just, I don't have a set list. It's all impromptu. So it's like kind of like how I'm feeling. Like, all right, if I did a lot of guitar heavy jams the first couple songs, let's get the horns in. Or let's get a fiddle in or viola. You know, like, especially when there's so many musicians on stage, I feel like it is my duty to, my civil duty to get all these awesome musicians to jam together. Like, if one thing I want to be remembered by, it's just being a good ringleader and being a solid glue to keep everyone together. You know, it's like I'm not the greatest keyboard player, but I just love what I do, and I love seeing all my friends on stage. Fucking smiling and
having
drinking,
a
fucking
blast.
Yeah, pounding beers. Like I never seen Stan Moore pound beers before. You know, like he's laying loose. You know, like I fucking love that.
And you know, even though the music isn't exactly what you'd could think of as a jam band, but it's the all improvisation aspect of it that really makes it fit in with this scene.
Yeah, it's like I'm too ADD to hold 20-minute guitar solos. Like I'm gonna give them 2 minutes, and it's like I think of it like punk jam.
Yeah,
you know,
it's very punk
face,
aspect to it.
Punk,
yeah,
you know, skull fuck these people.
Yeah,
like get in the rag, jump in the crowd. You know, just I grew up listening to all these pop punk bands and these metal bands, and like I walk into a show, and it's like this quiet. It's like this the calm before the storm, and all of a sudden the metal band comes in, and it's like what the fuck, let's fucking go. It's like you get the adrenaline and then you're in, you
right.
know. That's what I want from our show too, you know. It's like right when we hit stage, right when I touch the stage, I tell the boys fucking bring it. If you're not gonna bring it, don't get on that stage.
And they're so talented, the members of your band. It's so tight. I saw at Brooklyn Bowl, there was a spelling bee.
Oh, you went to that?
I went to
the
that.
The Revs Conference.
And you guys, you know, provided the soundtrack. And you just, no matter what was going on, you came up with a perfect song that fit the mood. And that really showed off the musicianship of the members of your band, that they could just crush it with a little direction from you.
Speller's favorite word is onomatopoeia, and has the bones in his arm to fuse together like some sort of cyborg. Please welcome Ted TK Kartzman.
Video killed the radio star. Video killed the radio star. In my mind and in my heart, you can make me spell some
art. Yeah, who was I talking to? Oh, Kimmock. I interviewed Kimmock on my podcast yesterday, and he's talking about the bands that last are the bands that are like gangs.
Yeah.
You know, not just like the band who was willing to punch somebody, who's threatening somebody. You know, like you see that in the Umphreys of the world. You see that in the Kimmocks. You see that in the Widespreads. You know, they have each other's back, and those, like, they're willing to go for the ride. You know, and that's what so much I appreciate about this jam scene. All these bands, you know, it's like none of us have singles. We're not single people.
Yeah,
we work our ass off to play for the people.
On the road.
On the road. I mean, we're like, I call it blue collar musicians. You know, we're doing God's work. You know, it's like, I'm not religious, so don't, if I offend anyone on that, I apologize.
But you did have a bar mitzvah that had a sports
team. Oh, fuck yeah. I did a bar mitzvah in Nuremberg, Germany, where Hitler did his speeches.
Oh.
It was awesome, dude. We had we opened for the Foo Fighters, and there was like 10,000 people. Sorry, I'm getting excited about the bar mitzvah.
No, I totally get it. And last year, when you played on the boat and you made your debut, one of the things that you did was you grinded on Annabelle Lukens, our cruise director.
Baby girl.
Julie McCoy. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, they're either the first people that are going to be invited back next year, or they are never stepping foot on a Cloud Nine Adventures experience.
Annabelle's again. The sweetest. You know, like, she's helped my career so much. Like, she's the one who built me this, who said welcome into this world. You know, like, I was always just like the outsider looking in, because, you know, it's like I used to book my band for 5 years before I found an agent, so I was just always just working and working and never got to meet any friends, because I'm just so focused on the next step, or how we're gonna make money for gas, or how, where are we gonna sleep tonight. So I never got that chance of like, hey, let's ally up, let's gang up, and like be a fucking team. You know, that's, you know, the music industry needs more allies. I keep on telling myself I don't need to compete. You know, I want to have friends. Like, I gotta get away from the Kobe Bryant syndrome in me, who is just like, I just want to kill everybody. You know, I just want to just play and just go. And that's why I want to bring as many of my friends up on stage, you know? Like, that's why I want everyone to shine. You know, I don't want to be, I'm not the guy. I want everyone to have that shine.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And back to the Annabelle thing, you know, you have a very no holds barred show, and it's very, in this age of political correctness, it is not very politically correct. Yeah. And with the Me Too and everything, do you ever worry about crossing the line?
All the fucking time, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, that, I mean, like, I'm not doing anything. I don't do it. I do it to joke. But, like, you see these comedians getting fucking thrown under the bus for some stuff they haven't done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and, like, the Me Too movement ain't nothing to fuck with. I mean, like, it's, you, we respect it. But, like, I'm just trying to loosen it up. Everyone's too stiff right now. Everyone's, like, really, everyone's too touchy and offend. Everything gets people offended. And I'm not trying to offend people. I'm just trying to just, you know, loosen the mood. But I could definitely see, like, I can't play Blame It on the Pussy anymore. I have that song, Blame It on the Pussy.
Right.
And I can't play that anymore. Like, in Oregon and stuff, like, in Europe, that's one of my biggest hits in Europe.
Sure.
And because they're not as prude as Americans are. They get past, like, oh, my God, he's calling my pussy and blame it. You know, they get it. It's just a funny, it's like a funny thing on words. Like,
right.
Don't blame it on my big head. Don't blame it on your pride. Don't blame it on my past, girl. Just to start a fight. Well, you know I'm gonna blame something. I blame it on your pussy.
And but I can't play it because I don't want to disrespect people. Like, I had a couple talks by some Me Too people. And they gave me, like, how they felt about it. I'm like, I get it. So I won't play it for that area or whatever. You know, I'm not just, like, trying to be an asshole to be an asshole. You know?
Right. That's not what this is about. It's about entertaining.
It's just about entertaining. And just, like, if I get a quick laugh, I'll get a quick laugh. If I don't get the laugh, I'll just say, okay, I fucked up. And then, you know, you gotta test yourself. It's like any guitarist, like, I'm improv. This is my soloing when I'm trying to jazz. You know, I love comedians. Like, sometimes, you know, like when, you know, I was talking with the Umphreys guys about this. Sometimes you fart. You know, like,
sure.
Sometimes you fuck up on the jam.
Yeah.
And it's like the same thing, I think, because I'm not the greatest piano player. So sometimes, like, I have this idea in my head, oh, I think this joke's going to kill. And it doesn't.
Right.
And you kind of, like, all right, let's play another song.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. Just move forward.
Move forward. You know, it's like, but I, you know, I overthink everything. I'm Jewish. I'm neurotic. Like, I don't want the, you know, it's like, I respect women, and I don't want any of that Me Too thing to get stuck on me, because you know, I really care about people. I love people. I'm just trying to make people happy. You know?
And that's amazing. And I'm glad that we get to hear that. And as part of this. And you know, the name of this segment is, it's a new segment called Castaway, and it's about, and it's talking with other people that have podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Andy, you have a great one.
You like
and
it? Have you listened to it?
I've listened to a bunch of.
Oh, respect,
up
man.
To 30, you're now up to like 32 episodes?
32, yeah. I'm just trying to do like a variety show, like, as if you're in the van with us.
Right.
You know? Because I'm done. I'm fucking overtaking, like, a selfie on Instagram, and that's the only thing I give content-wise besides my music to my fans. Like, hey, this is me in a cool place. Like, it's kind of pretentious. I'm, like, getting older, and I don't want to fucking boast about myself, but I gotta it's like this social media thing is so fucking weird because you have to, like, promote yourself. And, like, as an artist, this is a really weird time because marketing is 50% of the game now. Like, if you don't get yourself out there socially, it's going to be very hard for you to get an agent and start building a fan base, because these agents and these managers are only looking at your statistics, your views, your, you know, bigger agents aren't going to take a risk anymore because they don't have enough time.
Right.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
So this is a way that you've had a number, mostly musicians on the podcast, and this is a way to get people that are fans of Widespread Panic to
see a different side. Like,
see a different side of Dave Schools.
Talk about the drug problems. Talk about like mourning. Like, Dave's one of my close friends, and, like, to hear him talk about a death of a band member.
Yeah.
And get him, and hearing like the authentic, like I just interviewed Taz and he told me the story about Bruce Hanson, you know, and Colonel Bruce, and you know, to feel the emotion is, it's just like having a conversation with your friend, man. And if I could get people and vulnerable, being, you know, open to talking about demons, then it feels like we're all not alone in this thing, you know, because we're dealing with the same shit everyone, our fans are dealing with. We just do it in a different theme, you know?
Right. And that's the great thing about Jam Cruise is fans get to interact with the musicians, and the wall is down, and we're all in, as we said earlier, we're all in this together. But I wanted to get back to Day of Schools. I found it very interesting. You talked about a discussion that you had with him where he was like, you kind of need to put your foot off the gas a little bit when it comes to partying.
I was doing cocaine and Molly on and fucking drugs and having one night stands for fucking like 22-day benders.
Right.
Like, and not knowing, because you're in a new town. Like, we do 250 to 280 shows a year for the last 13 years. And sometimes we don't have a place to sleep, and we got to find a place to sleep. Or, like, just, like, we don't have enough money to... We made $50 tonight on a Tuesday, you know?
Because right.
You got to deal with those days. You can't always have the bangers, you know? You could have... I feel like being a blue-collar musician is, like, the most humbling thing, you know? It's like... So when you're broke in those years, what do? You get fucked up. So you don't fucking, you know,
numb yourself.
Yeah, take cocaine and, you know, have sex. And Dave was like, you want to keep this lifestyle? You're not going to make it. I know. I've been in this. I see a lot of my friends. And you have, he said, you have the potential to make it past this hump if you just stay focused, get off the coke, and write some songs that you actually care about instead of writing songs about the party. Like,
right.
You know, think about your fan base, but also think about growing. Like, what do you want to talk about? Like, if you died today, your legacy is your music or your words. So let's interpret that and, you know, be your authentic self. And he's like... I was so neurotic about always trying to be liked by everyone. And right. He really settled me down. He's like, stop thinking about that. Like yourself first, you know?
That's the most important thing.
And it helped me out so much. And
you took that advice?
Hell yeah. Like, I listened. When these guys, like Vince Herman, Dave Schools, Stan Moore, all these, Carl gives me health tips because he's fucking ripped.
Carl Denson is in primo shape.
Was like, he's like Benjamin Button up in this motherfucker, dude. But like when they give me advice, like you gotta listen. You know, they've done this longer than you,
right?
And it doesn't matter if you're ignorant, okay. If you're stubborn, fine. But get out of your own way and learn how to grow. You know, you're not gonna grow unless you've start listening.
And Dave produced your new album?
Dave did six songs. Ben Elman, who did from Galactic, and he did Revivalist, did five. And then we had Caleb Hawley out of New York. He's awesome. Worked with like Wolf Peck and stuff. They all same homies. He did four. And then we picked 11 out of those.
Okay.
Yeah, we recorded in Northern California where Dave lives. We did it in New Orleans during Halloween. That was
for
Elements tracks. And then we went to New York for all the ballads with Caleb.
Nice.
Caleb's like a good ballad guy. Well, he's a great musician. Caleb's one of my favorite musicians of all times. And he's our age. He's like the best songwriter out there right now. Caleb Hawley. Go look him up.
Did you have a mission for the album or any vision for it to show off a certain side? Or
I wanted to show people that I could write songs.
Okay.
And not just entertain people. Like, right. I wrote a song a day. We write songs at sound checks and stuff, but when we write songs for sound checks, it's songs to... We call them fillers in the crowd because, you know, when we think of a set, we like to do these waves. You know, we don't have a set list, but we have a wave system I like to go. And, like,
Peaks and valleys.
Peaks and valleys, like anything, and then plateau till the end. So that was a bad chemistry. We had some songs, but it wasn't like songs that like, well, you could stick with, like the lyrically. I wanted to really focus on lyrics and really want to focus on my singing to show people that I'm more than just an entertainer. And right. I really think this album, that's why I called it Change of Pace, because I want people to know, hey, I could do this. You know, yeah. I'm not just a one-trick pony. I'm not just a great entertainer. I just called myself a great entertainer. I didn't mean that.
You are a great entertainer. It's
you.
Okay.
No, I'm not just an entertainer. I'm a... Well, that sounded really pretentious. I hope you guys don't. I apologize about that. If I'm not just entertaining, I want to be. I'm a musician, you know?
Sure.
We live our lives for others, not the other way around. We're asked to stay quiet, but that only brings us down. But I want to get to know my demons. I want them to get to know.
It's cool now that this second year, all these bands are asking me to sit in with them. I'm like, fuck. I mean, this makes me feel good. Like they're not just worried about my frontman stuff. They want me to play keys. They want me to sing. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. And then that's why that Dave Schools stuff was so valuable.
Absolutely.
You know, he's the most humble guy on the planet. Him and Vince. When they talk, I fucking listen.
And I think interviews or podcasts come out the best when it's just homies or friends or people
vulnerable.
That have interest.
Vulnerability.
Exactly.
And I mean, like, shit. I love that. I love podcasts. I love what Rogan does. I love Michael Rappaport. I mean, I like these guys who have these personalities who interview people. Like Pete Holmes is a great, great interviewer. Marin's a great interviewer. You know, like... Really, my favorite interviewer is Howard Stern. He's the best.
Sure,
you know? And like to get him, like that's like my way of, I have really themed my interviews like Howard would. Get him comfortable. I'm not going to stray you. If you don't want to talk about something, we don't have to talk about it.
Right.
But I want you to get real with me. You know, I don't want you to just talk about your fucking record or something. I want you to, let's be friends and let's show people that side of you. That you don't show as much because you have to build this persona. Like, we all have a stage persona, you know? We're all different people, you know?
And fans appreciate the look behind the curtain.
Yeah, they do. You know, that's why I appreciate your podcast, man. We interview the same people, and we're kind of going for the same themes. Like, I didn't know, because I didn't see that many music podcasts, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. Because I'm normally, like, I'm a sports junkie, so, like... I'll listen to a lot of sports podcasts and stuff and like Bill Simmons and stuff. And then I started diving into music podcasts like Combat Jack and yours. And I'm like, this is tight.
Yeah,
everyone's got their own way of getting the information they need to get.
Exactly. And that's where we go with the themes. We have tour stories. We have the art of the set list. And
the art of the set. That's a cool segment.
Yeah. Who did we just...
You got to talk to Pigeons about that.
Yeah,
those guys.
They did tour stories
last
time, but yeah.
Those guys take that shit seriously.
Bruce Hornsby was the best that I've had. He doesn't use set lists at all. He just like kind of like
he's
he
the
just
best.
Goes on the vibe of the audience, and just hearing his thoughts on that process was
Vince
amazing.
Told me this great story about exactly that. Like he's like Bruce is like, all right, we're gonna have band practice. So everyone get to the venue early, 6 o'clock. The venue had like it was a 5-story stairs. All I did was go up to the stairs and said, Bruce is like, I want you to walk these stairs with intention. So they walk these stairs up and down with intention. It's like, okay, practice is over. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. I wish I met Bruce, man. That's one of the things I regret. I almost went to that show and I didn't.
That was a crazy night, and I'm interested to hear Taz's experience.
Oh my God. Poor guy. I mean, he is a good spirit, man.
Yeah.
He's a good spirit. You should interview Taz.
Oh, he's on the list. And speaking of the list and the wish list, who is on your wish list for people that
interview
that you want on your podcast?
In the scene?
In the scene or beyond, anyone. Who it could be Neil Young, somebody that's not possible, but who do you think would be?
I think Bob would talk if you get with him. After listening to Kim Ock and the stories he told me about Bob and all the crazy things Bob did, I think Bob would be cool. Any of these New Orleans cats, man.
Yeah.
To live in a city that's 24-hour ruckus. Yeah. I mean, I just interviewed Ivan Neville, and to hear his stories about fucking cocaine shit, what the fuck?
It's funny, there's a myth. That's a myth.
Really?
Keith, when I was around him, I know that he did fuck around with heroin back in the days at some point. But when I was around him, when I was fooling around with Keith wasn't on any of that shit.
No
blow. He was doing less coke than all of us. I swear to God. He would have it.
Yeah.
He'd go in his fucking doctor bag or something. And he'd pull some shit out.
And
had the best shit that you would find.
He's sober and just drinks a double espresso fucking Starbucks drinks. You know, it's... I think him, I would love to, once I get better, I would love to interview a really famous basketball player, maybe a Kobe or a LeBron or just these guys who are just mentality-wise, were so focused on just one thing.
Sure.
And everyone surrounded them knew that that's all they cared about, and they still kept them in their lives, you know?
Yeah. And you had a basketball player on, correct?
Yeah, Ronnie Brewer, dude, from the Utah Jazz.
How did that come together?
Man, I just hit up people when I'm in town.
Okay.
I'll just fucking creep them on Instagram. Hey, man, you want to be on my podcast? And I do it. Yeah, this is George Porter, which was legendary. He's so cool. Yeah, man, I love this scene. I want to do some rappers.
Okay.
I want to do some famous rappers. I think I could really talk to Kanye.
Yeah.
I think I could kind
of meeting of the minds.
I think I could but it's all about they got to respect the interviewer, you know? Right. If they don't, and when you ask a question that's more vulnerable, you know, they're sheltered. That's why when I interview my friends, I feel like I get the best interviews. Who else? Maybe some old rockers, someone from
Kiss. Did you get, I saw that you were, Michael Rapaport was in the works.
I got it, yeah. Okay. I'm doing his, he's coming on in February, which is cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, I just went to his show. Yeah, me and him are buds. He's helped me out with the podcast. He's the one, him and Mr. Morris, and that I Am Rapaport crew has really got me set up. You know, they helped me with the promo, they helped me with the marketing, and then, Rapport's such a good guy. I want to do some actors too. I've done some comedians, Todd Glass. I just don't want it to be just music. I want it to be everyone. I want to just do interesting people. I have this idea. This guy, I want to follow this guy. He kayaked the whole Mississippi River from Minneapolis all the way, or from Minnesota all the way down
to New Orleans.
To New Orleans. And has a walkie-talkie, and there's these big freight trains. I'm on a kayak to the left of you. Please don't fucking hit me. You know, that shit's fascinating to me. How do you survive that? It took 4 months of just pulling over, camping by the side of the river. What if there's weather? You're stuck in one area for 4 days. You better have good books or something, you know?
That's a great question.
Or good podcasts.
Right, exactly. And who have you interviewed on the boat that we can expect on future episodes?
Man, I got 13. I've been working.
You're beating me. Wow.
Yeah, dude. I got Mo Ted. I got Sister Sparrow. I got Taz, Ivan Neville, George Porter, Steve Kimmock. I'm doing Spafford. I'm very interested about that one.
Why? Why? What? 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 now I'm curious. What makes you that?
I don't know. I'm curious to see what happened with the whole change in management and stuff. And like the whole Live for Live Music thing is really fascinating to me because I'm a Kunj guy, you know? Like, Kunj is my boy. And, you know, so I want to see what happened. I want to hear both sides. So I'm interested on that one. And then, I'm like, I want to know the dirt. I'm like, I want to be like Oprah.
Right.
Jamsy. You know, like, oh, tell me, honey, sweet baby.
Yeah.
I want to do some, I'm doing Mimi from Fruition.
She's
wild.
Great.
She's cool. She's sober now, so that's interesting. I like when people get sober.
Oh, she was not sober when I interviewed her. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting to see both sides because she's really mellow right now. Like, that's one of my favorite up-and-coming bands right now, Fruition.
They're one of the bands from the scene that I really think could break through. I think you don't need to be a Jam fan
to appreciate
this great music songs that that band writes.
Yeah, killer. Yeah. I love Fruition. Yeah. And like this new record is fucking fire. Like they're really good. And it's like they're so good that it makes me mad in a sense cuz like I'll never write a good song like that. Then like I love Mike Dillon. You gotta get Mike Dillon. Have you ever got Mike Dillon?
I have not gotten Mike Dillon. I'm almost scared to get Mike Dillon.
No, you just gotta fuck it. It's like driving a Corvette when you're interviewing Dillon. Like you gotta like hold on tight and like he'll spill his guts.
Okay.
He's brilliant. I mean, Mike is one of the hardest working men I've ever seen. That guy's been gigging nonstop with everyone for 230 shows a year. You know, he doesn't get enough credit, I think, in this scene. Like
he does on Jam Cruise. That's what I like about Jam Cruise.
Yeah.
The people that don't get enough credit
totally
get the respect.
Yeah,
from
I love seeing Galactic. I love seeing Stan Moore. You know, he's like he's the best drummer in the world. You know, he should be getting just as much promo as Questlove. You know?
Yes, like, that's true.
It's crazy.
If he didn't have the personality, get his personality out there.
You know what it is? It's New Orleans. They just stay in New Orleans. They're comfortable. Right. Like nobody wants to talk about it. Like New Orleans keep it a secret so no one fucking moves there because it's like their own little bubble. Like I love the New Orleans music community. Like Revivalist, I'm doing Revivalist. David Shaw. The guy from Big Gigantic's here.
Oh, that's Jeremy Salkin. Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
Excellent.
Jew Unit. I love that, dude. That's his Instagram. I'm like, fuck yeah, Jeremy. Because I used to be a hater because, you know, the EDM scene is blowing up. And I would never give it a shot because I was in my own way. And I finally gave it a shot. I'm like, why? It was dope. I'm like, why am I being like this? And I told him, like, listen, dude, I used to be a hater on your ass because you took all the girls, man. All the women loved you, man. So I apologized and I gave him a hug and now we're homies.
Yeah. Awesome.
But yeah, Big G is cool. Like, you know, the people are moving in the scenes. But
it's a beautiful
thing. I love interviewing, man. It keeps me off drugs. It keeps me off drinking all day. You know, it gives me something to do, and I love podcasts.
Do you prepare for the interviews?
I got a producer, Joe Angel Howe, who basically preps me for the interview.
Okay.
Gives me, like, stuff that what they've already what other interviewers have talked about. So, you know, I kind of don't want to – I steer away from a lot of that.
Right.
And he's like, hey, this could be interesting to kind of dive in. You know, he's like – he's the best. You know, it's like –
that's like how Howard does it.
I mean, that's who helped me, Jason Steve Brandano. And, I did a Howard Stern show two times now, and like to hang out with all those producers was like it was such the best learning curve ever because, you know, he's the king of entertainment.
Yeah.
And like the reason why he's the king because the producers and the guys who are helping him write know him so well and know how to get him the right information to get deep.
To get the goods, the shit.
Yeah, totally.
And one last question for you. Length of the podcast. Do you go for a certain length?
I like an hour 10.
Okay, that's...
You know, but if the interview's, like, so, like, fascinating, like, day of schools was like an hour and a half interview, and I didn't want to cut, but I had to cut some fat. Like, 2 hour podcast, like Howard is 4 hours. Like, if I could get to 4 hours, that's amazing. But like, I'm at that point where, cut the fat. Let's do some dick jokes. Let's do the interview for 45 minutes. Let's do a 20 minute thing where I talk and people hear my views with Yeti. I fired Yeti. So Yeti's not with me anymore.
Okay.
But now I'm just doing like special co-hosts, whoever I'm on the road with. You know, gets like I did my dad, and I'll do some like Mike D or Vince. You know, that's fun stuff to do. And then we both introduce the interview. It's fun. But yeah, 1 hour, 115, 120. You know, I just think about ADD and how long it, you know, once I'm start twitching my fingers at a podcast, I look at the time, I'm like, oh, it's already an hour and 46. I should make it a little smaller. Yeah. So I'll do like an hour 15 once a week, you know, because at the end of the day, you're giving them like each season, you're giving them 40 hours of content. Yeah. You know? So.
That's
I think that's fair. I think that's it's free content. So
exactly, and awesome. That's what when we were coming up with this podcast, we thought there were many that were too long, and that's why we wanted to do the themed segments and
aim cut the
for
fat.
15 to 20 minutes. And except when same situation with you, like this conversation is longer than our usual one.
Oh, but, man, I'm a yenta. I apologize.
But this is no. But this is there were Bruce Hornsby went long. I wasn't looking to cut that. And as I said,
the best interviews is when you don't look at like the timer on the Zoom, like
you know, or you look at it and it's like, oh my god, I thought it was 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's been a half an hour. Yeah. Man, I love it, man. I love getting to know people, and like, I don't know. I'm into this. I'm into podcasts. Like, if this was on like a video process or a video type of a show, I don't think it'd work. You know, hearing people do interviews through just audio is the perfect for me. You know, I could, you know, have this fucking stitches in my fucking head and like be half concussing, not
worried about how you're looking.
Not worried how cross that I fucking look, you know.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for talking with us. Change of Pace is coming out in February
22nd.
Excellent.
Yeah, and then check out my podcast, Andy Frasco's World Saving Podcast, if you like it.
What's the best way for people to find your podcast?
I'm on all that shit.
Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, yeah. Google.
Well, yeah,
Play.
We got to get you on mine. I'm going to get you on mine.
Oh, I would be thrilled.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about it. I'm a big music industry fan. I love seeing the publishers and the writers. And like I interviewed Peter Shapiro from Relics.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
Oh man, he is a genius. You know, I felt like you get nervous when you talk to legends like that, dude. Because he's built so many scenes inside the East Coast, and like these, like the God. He's like
the Bill Graham of this generation.
I couldn't say it any better.
Terrific, Andy. Thanks again.
Thanks, buddy.
And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Jam Bass Podcast. Thanks to Andy for talking with Scotty, and we wanted to clarify one part of the chat just so there's no confusion. Scotty brought up Bruce Hornsby's Art of the Setlist podcast interview, and Andy responded with a story about Vince Herman and the late Colonel Bruce Hampton, not Bruce Hornsby. It was easy to miss, and hopefully that clears things up for anyone that might have been confused by the two Bruces. Thanks as always to each of you out there for listening to this podcast. Be sure to check out any of our previous episodes you might have missed on the newly redesigned Jambase homepage. While you're there, dig into the other podcasts in the Osiris Network. We think you'll like what you hear. We always like the way we sound, and that's thanks to Telefunken and the kick-ass microphones they supply us with. Shout out to Jake Alexander for producing the episode, and his group Clangin' and Bangin' for our theme music. Don't forget to stream, download, or if you're like me, purchase the vinyl copy of the new Strand of Oaks album, Eraserland, coming out tomorrow on Dead Oceans. Before we go, we want to congratulate our CEO, David Ottingman, who this week welcomed the newest Jambase podcast listener into the world, Davo's son, Miles Ottingman, who was born on Monday. We're happy to report Mom Crystal and baby Miles are at home and doing well, with who I can only assume is a super excited big brother, Graham. Congrats and all the love to the newly expanded crew. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Jambase podcast. And until next time, go see live music.